All right, we got a Hall of Famer on the line. This is always great. You guys always bug me because I always, whenever I reset, I'm always like, with Canadian Baseball Hall of Famer, and you're like, all right, that's enough.
Yes.
But he is one of the great ball players in the history of our country.
Exactly.
Longtime major leaguer, now an analyst. Here's Ryan Dempster. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing outstanding. And I was listening in there before you guys tuned me in, and I don't think you give yourself enough credit. I think you could handle a mountain lion, no problem.
What would you do? Would you just strangle it like the dude did in Colorado, or what?
Now, I'd probably go a rear naked choke, and then I'd just like slowly tap it out, and then I'd let him go, you know, and maybe name him, and then go visit him or her and her offspring every winter. Or
what is the rear naked choke?
Oh, it's a great wrestling move.
Is that like the roasted turkey?
You got to get there and just, you use your legs too. Make sure you use your whole body, and then just, it's a big move. Hoyt Gracie kind of perfected that.
He would tap out.
Go ahead, get him.
Yeah, that'd be outstanding. Yeah. A UFC ref falls out of the tree and starts tapping him out. Yeah, that's actually not. I mean, you're from BC. You probably have to deal with wildlife. You have at some point in your life, right? What's the craziest animal you've come across?
Honestly, probably bear. Just I remember one time actually being in my house and my mom. We lived on like 10 acres, and my dad was the fire chief at the time, and he had this fire chief van. And my mom went to go put the trash out. She came running in. There's a bear. And I was like, what? And I went to the window, and the bear is out in our trash area. So my mom's freaking out. So she calls my dad. He shows up in this fire chief's van, and the bear had dragged our trash over to the underneath this big tree we had. And so my dad pulls the van up, turns the sirens on, and the bear just gets both paws up on the front of the truck and just kind of sniffs around. He's like, "Nah, I'm good with this leftover food your mom threw away," and he went right back to the garbage. And my dad went back the truck up, grabbed the big huge rock, trying to scare the bear away, throws it at the bear. The bear comes back to the truck, gets all around the driver's side door, and then he just went right back, and they eventually came and used a tranquilizer gun and put him back to his home somewhere up on the top of Mount Elphinstone.
Wild, man.
That's impressive.
I guess what else can you do? You start the siren, and if the guy's like, I don't care, if the bear isn't going to budge, what are you going to do?
You run him over with the van. I don't know.
My dad had the suggestion of me getting out of the car and trying to like see if he'd chase me away, but I just didn't think that was very nice of a dad to do to a 15-year-old, you know?
No, you wouldn't be going into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Off-season training right there.
That's right. With Ryan Dempster, and again, you're going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame this summer, and you seem like a guy that might wing the speech. Is that your plan? Are you going to write a speech, or are you going to wing it, or what?
No, I think a little bit of both. I'm definitely going to write one. I have a lot of people I want to thank, and you know, a lot of things that I'm appreciative for over the years. So I want to make sure I don't forget anybody. But I'm sure there'll be some ad-libbing going on, and you know, a few little fun moments of whatever I can provide. But I'm super honored and flattered and humbled, and you know, as a kid, you dream about a lot of things. You know, you dream about pitching in Game 7 of the World Series. You dream about winning the Cy Young and stuff like that. And while you think about things like, oh, I'm going to be a Hall of Famer, it's never really a true possibility in your mind. You're too busy in it. And then when it all gets done, you know, you sit back and you kind of look at things. And I still wasn't even really thinking about it. I knew it was maybe a possibility just because I played for so long and being a Canadian ball player, but then to get that call from Scott in the Hall of Fame to just say that I was being inducted, and I'm just super. It's really, really special for me. I'm proud of where I'm from. I'm proud of being a Canadian. I've been proud to put the uniform on as a Canadian ball player multiple times, and now to go in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame is, you know, it's incredible. It really is.
With Ryan Dempster, a longtime major league pitcher, again, he's going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in 2019. You are the perfect guy to catch up with because I'm sure you're aware of this, that the potential rule changes in baseball are on the table. I guess there's a bit of a back and forth ongoing right now with MLB and the Players Association, and a couple of reports are out there in terms of what could potentially happen, if not in 2019, maybe in 2020. As a pitcher, I mean, I'm sure you've got some feelings on this. One of the potential rules, or the projected rule changes, would include a minimum of 3 batters faced. So obviously this doesn't apply to starters, but for bullpen, you know, relievers, This is going to change a lot. There's no more, hey, you come in, throw a pitch, get a guy out, and boom, we go back out to the mound and switch things up. How would you feel about, you know, relievers being forced to face a minimum of three batters within the inning?
I'm on the fence about that one. I understand it. I understand it from multiple levels, from generating more offense to speeding up the game. You know, it does get tiresome watching, you know, let's go to the righty, then the lefty, then the righty, then the lefty. Like, literally, you'll see four pitching changes in an inning. And, you know, I think you're going to have guys finding out about themselves. Maybe, like, a left-handed reliever who didn't have a third pitch is all of a sudden going to have to get one because he's going to have to manage navigating and facing more right-handers and vice versa. You know, it'll definitely generate a little bit more offense. You're going to have, you know, managing bullpens, not just in a game, but throughout a course of the season, because now, you know, what was coming in and facing a guy and throwing five pitches turns into 23 pitches and unavailable the next day. So there's so many layers that fall under that that are more than just on the surface of, you know, speeding the game up and generating more offense. But I kind of like it. I like that for generating more offense than I do things like lowering the mound again. I mean, how many more times? When do we start just throwing underhand?
No kidding.
So these guys can,
well,
so they can hit
that.
How about, I got a good idea. I had this novel idea for speeding up the game of baseball and generating offense. It's called calling the strike zone the size of the strike zone in the rule book. If we did that, then guys would swing the bat, because they're not trying to generate walks because they get paid for on-base percentage. They'll have to swing the bat. And when you swing the bat, like anything, I actually was just throwing batting practice to my son before this phone call, and I said, the more you swing, the more swings we take, the easier it's going to be to hit. And that's the truth. When you get in those habits, now all of a sudden, you know, Vladimir Guerrero had no problem swinging the bat and putting the bat on the ball because that's what he did. His philosophy wasn't, I'm going to sit here and wait for you to walk me. I'm tired of 3-2 every single count in baseball. Why not swing it? And when you do that, the game moves faster and things happen. I'm not talking about calling it like the Braves got it in the day when it was a foot off the plate outside. I'm just talking about from the bottom of the armpits down to the top of the knees, and let's go from there.
The new rule, Brian, the guy that just, you know, says, I don't have it today, you're going to find it. Find it.
No kidding. Well, that kind of sounds, Ryan, like maybe I'm putting words in your mouth or making an assumption here, but you would support a robotic umpire. Would you support that or what?
No, not. I mean, I'm not. I think these guys, the umpires, I don't think they've changed over the years. I think we just notice it now more because I didn't know there was a bad umpire in San Francisco when I'm in Chicago back in 1955 or 1972 or 1992 or 2002. But now with Twitter and social media and the amount of things that we can show everybody in the world how bad a call was over and over, you barely read anything in the paper. Now they're constantly under pressure. I know that sucks to pitch when you feel that way, when you just feel on the edge. Like, if I make one mistake, everybody's going to know it. So I imagine being an umpire is really tough. And that's just part of the game. And I just like umpires. There's some umpires. Joe West, everybody complains about him. He's one of the best strike calling umpires in the league. He is so good at balls and strikes. Tim McClellan, who is just a long-time umpire, so good at balls and strikes. And also, too, maybe a guy isn't true to the actual strike zone in a sense, but his eyes, he's consistent with his strike zone. And that's your job as a player. I knew that as a starting pitcher. Who's behind the plate today? Does he give off the corner? Does he give up in the zone? Does he give down in the zone? You know, and those are things that if you do your homework, that's the reason I think you play a long time in the league, is because you know those things, and those little things are what, you know, helps you have success and maybe gain an edge on somebody that otherwise is sitting there complaining, oh, that ball's outside. Yeah, we know. He calls outside. He does every game. So I love having an umpire back there. I love them being able to talk to each other. Now you can't argue anything because, you know, once again, it gets all over TV and it makes the game maybe look a little bad, but a little emotion. I love the old days where guys would yell at an umpire and the umpire would yell at him and then he'd yell back at him and then they'd go out there and get each other's space and then they'd go, all right, it's still an out. Okay, cool. I'll go back to the dugout. Now you can't even look at him funny. Otherwise, they literally throw you out for giving them an intimidating look.
Yeah, it's changed so much, the dynamic. And that's where I was going to go with you. Is there, Was there a certain ump for you that you just knew that he didn't call you well, even though, like you just talked about, yeah, this guy, you knew his tendencies. For myself, and I don't know if Jeff O'Neill had the same situation in the National Hockey League, there were certain refs which you knew that they were going to call a bad game against you. And not personally, but these were guys that just, for some reason, I didn't like that guy. And I don't think he liked me, or he didn't like my team. And you just knew you were going to get a greasy call at some point. Did you ever have that type of experience with, you don't need to name names, it's just, did you ever have a guy that you was kind of like, in Seinfeld terms, your Newman?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, there was definitely umpires that, you know, there was umpires you could talk to. There was umpires that if you questioned a call, well, you weren't getting a call the rest of the day. Yeah. And maybe those were more old school umpires because they try to establish the alpha male. That's the way those old school umpires looked at it too, is this is my game behind the plate. I'm running this game and you guys are players here and I'm in control of this. And, you know, it's almost like they're trying to be the dad of all the kids out there. And I understand that to a sense, but at the same time, you know, that's my livelihood and I'm trying to make a living out here. Don't hold a grudge against me because, you know, I might have said that pitch is a strike and you might have disagreed. And then there was other umpires where I knew, hey, if I saw them the day before and had a nice conversation with them and, you know, asked them how the golf game was or where they went to dinner or how their kids are doing, I might get a pitch off the plate away. So, you know, there was a little bit of give and take. And I think that's the same in every sport. You see it in basketball with guys and hockey, you know, the ability, football for sure. I mean, the ability to get a holding call or, you know, a rough in the passer from a certain quarterback who might say, hey, watch this guy, he keeps hitting me. Well, you know, that's part of it, too. You know, it's part of the whole thing. And until you have robot umpires, that's not going to change anything.
With Ryan Dempster, he's going into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in June down in St. Mary's. Obviously, a big part of the discussion surrounding baseball right now are these big free agents who are still unsigned. Pitchers and catchers report in a week. You know, full-blown spring training is up and running in like 2 weeks. If you were in their situation, you know, Harper, Machado, Keuchel, Kimbrel, this close to camp without having a contract, would you be nervous? Would you be able to play it cool? How would you be handling this situation?
Yeah, I'd be nervous. I mean, depends. I don't know what their offers are, right? We shouldn't know. It's not fair to them, for anybody to know their offers other than the teams that's presented them to them. So, but I would be nervous. I'm not nervous if I'm Bryce Harper. I feel like it's already been known that he's got a $300 million offer from the Nationals. But listen, I mean, Manny Machado, some things happen in the postseason where you might have cost yourself $50, $60, $70 million by not running some balls out and kicking some guys. And that's just life, man. That's what happens. But I'm nervous if I'm some guys, some of these pitchers who don't have deals and, you know, whether or not they set the bar too high on themselves, thought, hey, look at, you know, inflation and every contract's going up every year. But I actually saw a really interesting thing this morning on MLB Network, and they were talking about $200 million plus deals. And out of all of the $200 million plus deals that have been done, Alex Rodriguez, Giancarlo Stanton, Prince Fielder, Albert Pujols, all of these guys, they've only combined for one World Series. Mm-hmm. And that was 2009 with the New York Yankees. So teams are smart. Do I want to spend $300 million on one player, or do I want to get four really good players and keep players I have for that kind of money? So, you know, it's about winning and losing, and I think teams do that. And I understand the player's side of the business, and I understand trying to, you know, get as much as you can. But, you know, at the same time, just because you have youth on your side, there's something about a track record and being a winning player and doing those things. And you know, I think Bryce Harper is an incredible talent and has a chance to do some really special things in this game. And I'm sure a lot of teams would like to have him, but that's just a little too pricey for some teams.
What kind of advice do you think Harry Carey would have for Bryce Harper, Ryan?
$300 million. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, I would never have to leave my house again. I could buy so much Budweiser, I literally could build a pipeline from the Busch Anheuser factory in St. Louis all the way to my tap in my kitchen.
That sounds like great advice, Harry.
I'd say take it. That's just me, though. I have simple demands. An ice cold beer and a nice meal is all I'm looking for.
We need that as a part of the speech of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir.
Please bring Harry to the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
You never know.
Yeah, congrats. Hey, and thank you for doing this today, Ryan.
Thank you very much. And congratulations to the other guys, too, to Rob Thompson and Gord Ash and to Jason Bay, who I competed against for so many years. And I'm thrilled to go in with them, and I'm honored to join the guys that are already in there. So thank you guys for having me on.
You got it. There he is, Ryan Dempster, with a great Harry Carey.
Wow.